Time for the Hamilton Corner with today's guest host, Miki Addison.
Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Welcome to the Hamilton Corner, where it's becoming a regular occurrence that Miki's in the corner here. I'm Miki, in for Abraham Hamilton III. Thank you so much for listening. I feel so, even as we're recording this program, and Judge Brett Kavanaugh is being questioned by the Senate Judiciary Committee, and I'm missing it. I just want to say that right now, because there is so much going on, but there was such a discussion to have around what is happening today. I want to start with this, and then I want us to kind of unpack what has happened today in our country. I just tell you, it has been stunning to watch all morning and the better part of the afternoon, and it will be stunning to pick up where I've left off. When we wrap up here, because this is a moment in history for many, many reasons. This is a moment in history. But I want to remind you of something that is very important, that we who say we have a biblical worldview, we've got to make sure that we don't allow the culture to tell us how to interpret scripture, but that we really look to the word of God and discern and understand how to look at the culture based on what the word of God says first. And the word of God says this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17, and I'm going to read it twice and slow. The word of God says this in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. And we have seen a clear picture of that today in this country, broadcast all across major networks, streamed online. We have seen a clear example of that. You know, and so often when we see examples of the Bible sort of come to life right before our eyes, we look at those things as confirmation that the word of God is true. I think that's the wrong way to look at it. The better way, in fact, the best way to look at it is that those things are true because the word of God is true first. The word of God is true first. So when we see things play out in our day-to-day lives, like they are playing out today, and they reflect the scriptures, they don't confirm the scriptures. In fact, these things happen because the scriptures are already confirmed. The word of God is already true. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 17. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Christine Blasey Ford went first at the Senate Judiciary Committee hearing this morning. And I watched as she was handled with kid gloves. And I watched as the bully, that is hashtag Me Too, ruled the morning. I watched as, you know, all of the so-called advancements and all of the progress that supposedly have been, you know, made in this country as it pertains to women. I watched as it went up in smoke when you have a woman who cannot be effectively questioned because we're in the era of hashtag Me Too, where a hashtag is actually used as a sword. And we've got a clip, just a short clip to hear a little bit from Christine Blasey Ford. And then we're going to talk about some of the observations that we could make in her testimony and what happened this morning. And then we'll move on to Brett Kavanaugh, a human being, by the way. Let's just not forget that. We're talking about a person. We're not talking about a title. We're not talking about a position. His name is not Greek for judge. This is a man. This is a person. So we're going to talk about that. But first, listen, Christine Blasey Ford.
I drank one beer. Brett and Mark were visibly drunk. Early in the evening, I went up a very narrow set of stairs leading from the living room to a second floor to use the restroom. When I got to the top of the stairs, I was pushed from behind into a bedroom across from the bathroom. I couldn't see who pushed me. Brett and Mark came into the bedroom and locked the door behind them.
And she goes on from there. And if you're familiar with the story, you know how it unpacks and you know what she says that she recalls that happened to her. But can I say this? So I was jotting down notes as I listened to her opening statement, and I jotted down notes as I listened to, I would like to say, the questions that came from the Democrats on the committee, but they really were not questions. They were accolades. They were praise moments. They were moments of affirmation. That's really what you heard, overwhelmingly, at least, come from Democrats. And I listened even as Christine, Dr. Ford, was questioned by the prosecutor, and I forget her last name. I know her first name is Rachel, and the last name escapes me, and I'll get it for you in a second here. But I also listened to her answers at that moment as well. And here's one of the things that I thought. I thought, you know, Rachel Mitchell is her name. And I thought, here you have this woman that Dianne Feinstein actually starts and she says, let me make sure to give you all the credit that you're due. Let me talk about all of your achievements. And you listen to her sort of run down this list of achievements that have come from Dr. Christine Blasey Ford. And you go, what an extraordinary woman. I mean, if you are just reading her distinguished career accolades, if you're just reading what she has accomplished in life, including being a wife and a mother, you're going, what an exceptional woman. I mean, she must be incredibly strong. She must have incredible just wherewithal to be able to do what she's done. And then you hear the opening statement and you watch the body language. You watch the demeanor. You watch the lawyers fawn over her as if they are aiding a child. You watch them give her words and whisper and block mics and all of these things. This charade, I saw it as. And you say, you know, that demeanor was really inconsistent with a woman of her caliber. That presentation was really inconsistent with a woman who would boast of the achievements that Christine Blasey Ford boasts of. And I thought, are we being manipulated? And I listened to this very accomplished woman talk about things that to the average, common, everyday person like myself, I'll just say like myself, maybe not you, maybe you're smarter than I am. Talk about how the brain processes trauma and using words that, of course, would be germane to her type of work. And she would have a unique understanding of this. But at the same time, expect us to believe that as a result of being attacked by Brett Kavanaugh, she struggled. She has a fear of flying. And if you were following any of the hearing today, you heard, at least in some way, Rachel Mitchell call that into question. This whole idea of her fear of flying. What we saw today with the testimony, the statement of Christine Blasey Ford, the questioning, even the questioning, folks, coming from Rachel Mitchell. Look, can I just, you know, can I just tell you that I was disappointed? Because don't we want real answers? Don't we want to really get to the bottom of what would be such an egregious accusation that has damaged a man's life? Don't we want to really ask tough questions? And then you get to the questions and the pats and the rubs and the hand-holding. Oh, but the hand-holding. And don't even get me started on Cory Booker, who suddenly turns into Minister Cory Booker, where he's beginning to minister and preach to Christine Blasey Ford, bringing her to tears, because you need to have that coming from the woman. And let us not also forget how many times we heard, I believe you. I believe you. And after all of those assertions, Brett Kavanaugh is supposed to walk into a room and state his case. He's supposed to defend himself. He comes into a room where it has already been asserted, I believe you. So, and again, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. I will say that with all humility and certainty. But is it safe for us, you know, average folk, to understand that if a person says, I believe you, by default, knowing that another person has denied the charges made against them, aren't you by default saying, I don't believe you? You can't possibly be saying, I believe both of you. So what's our takeaway? Our takeaway is that there is already a position that's arrived at. Our takeaway can be nothing else but a political motivation, not a desire for truth. No way. No way. People, please do not be under any type of delusion that there was a desire for truth coming from Democrats who are part of this Senate Judiciary Committee. There was no desire for truth. You say, well, Miki, how do you know that? Well, because when you say to a person who has brought a charge against another person and you're there to hear them both out, you just get through one and you say, I believe you. By default, what you are declaring is, you know what? And I don't believe him. It is this type of context that Brett Kavanaugh came into. It's this type of room that Brett Kavanaugh walked into today. Is this type of understanding that he fought hard against today. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that Brett Kavanaugh, and it's unfortunate that he had to do this, but I think he fought the type of fight we were hoping he would fight. We were hoping that he would be relentless. We were hoping that he wouldn't back down. We were hoping that he would just tell it like it is. We didn't want a whole lot of methodology. And I don't know where other people fall. I'll just tell you, I actually didn't want him to be all that measured either. I guess you call it judicial. I just wanted him to tell it like it is. This has hurt your family. This has destroyed your life. They need to know. And that's exactly what Brett did. That's exactly what he did. We're going to talk about it when we get back. It's important that we don't forget, in all of this discussion, we are talking about a human being. We're talking about a person, not a position, not a career, not a promotion as it was referred to today. We're talking about a person.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Shortly after I was nominated, the Democratic Senate leader said he would, quote, oppose me with everything he's got. A Democratic senator on this committee publicly referred to me as evil. Evil. Think about that word. And said that those who supported me were, quote, complicit in evil. Another Democratic senator on this committee said, quote, Judge Kavanaugh is your worst nightmare. A former head of the Democratic National Committee said, quote, Judge Kavanaugh will threaten the lives of millions of Americans for decades to come. I understand the passions of the moment. But I would say to those senators, your words have meaning. Millions of Americans listened carefully to you. Given comments like those, is it any surprise that people have been willing to do anything, to make any physical threat against my family, to send any violent email to my wife, to make any kind of allegation against me and against my friends, to blow me up and take me down? You sowed the wind. For decades to come, I fear that the whole country will reap the whirlwind.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I'm Miki. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III. What a day it has been. You just heard Brett Kavanaugh as he was making his opening statement to the Senate Judiciary Committee, sort of his response to Christine Blasey Ford. And that last reference that you heard comes from Hosea. Hosea chapter 8, verse 7 says, "For they sow to the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind." In other words, what you're doing now has far-reaching consequences. I don't think that Brett Kavanaugh can be more accurate in what he is saying about what is happening in this country. In fact, he goes on to say that the consequences of what's happening right now, he calls it a circus. He says the consequences of what's happening right now will extend beyond his nomination. And isn't it true? Isn't it true? Can you imagine anybody wanting to serve in public office, believing that this is what awaits them? Believing that this is what is on the horizon? Brett Kavanaugh is a person. Please make no mistake about that. He is a human being. And I think he did exactly what he needed to do today. That is, be that person. Communicate from your heart. Communicate with passion. Absolutely refute claims. Again. But seemingly it wasn't enough for people. Or they don't think he was strong enough or forceful enough. What you saw coming from Brett Kavanaugh was really raw emotion. It's the result of someone who is not just a title. They're not just a position. He's not just a justice. He is a father. He's a son. He's a husband. And we have forgotten about this in this country when we engage in some of the rhetoric that we engage in. You know, and I try to, you know, you always want to be measured. You don't want to, because I am not one of those people who believes that in our search for truth and trying to get to the bottom of things, we've got to demean another person or that we've got to denigrate another person. I don't think we have to do that. So I thought we can listen to what Christine Blasey Ford has to say. We can feel compassion for her, that maybe something happened in her past, that there's some scar there. Which, by the way, can I tell you something is so important for us to know? And I think so often we don't consider this, because there's a lot of talk today during the hearing about her having passed a polygraph test. Well, I think it's important for us to understand what that means. It means that she believes what she said. That doesn't mean that it's factual, that it's true. It means she believes it to be true. And haven't we seen the consequences in our country of people just standing on their own feelings and standing in their own truth? Like truth is pliable, like truth is flexible, like there's a sliding scale of truth. Don't these people believe their truth? Come on. They're convincing in the public square, are they not? They believe their truth because it's their truth. They have made it a reality. I can't stand when people say walk in your truth. Look, there is just truth. We've invented some sort of sliding scale. So now people are like, well, she passed a polygraph test. That only means she believes what she said. And I got to tell you, you know, it's unfortunate. We have gone down a road, and I'm hoping that with Brett Kavanaugh's testimony, his statement today, that we can kind of come back from this darkness that we have ventured into. Because we're going down a road where the offspring of the Me Too hashtag is the hashtag Believe Women. That's the offspring. You can call it the daughter, if you will, of the hashtag Me Too movement. Would be Believe Women. I'm sorry, what? And now we can't ask people to give us detail. And now we can't say, well, hold on. It's not that your claims have been uncorroborated. It's that they have been refuted by witnesses you called. Have we really lost our compass today? That we can't say, you know, under normal circumstances, circumstances that predate hashtag Me Too, we would say, that's kind of sketchy. That's kind of iffy to me. Christine Blasey Ford, this woman with all of these accomplishments, this woman with all of these accolades, this woman who is standing in the place of other women. She was told that repeatedly by Senate Democrats, by the way, today. She's empowering women. They're so proud of her. Speaking of empowering women, when Dr. Ford was asked the question about why her good friend, Leland, now Kaiser, would not have supported her or confirmed, you know, what she alleges happened on this night at this party. Why would her friend say that it never happened, that she doesn't know Brett Kavanaugh? Why would the friend say this? You know what this champion of women, this, you know, unintentional champion of women, that's what we're to believe, that this unintentional champion of women, this unlikely heroine of sorts, Christine Blasey Ford, you know what she said? Well, Leland's got some health challenges. Now, I don't know if people caught that, but you know what? That's offensive. It's offensive to me as a woman, because I don't recall what you recall, because I don't agree with your recollection. It's because of my health challenges. That's insulting. Health challenges or not, she doesn't recall what you recall, and you said that she was a witness. But we can't press on that. Even Rachel Mitchell didn't press on that. You know, I feel like some of the Senate Republicans should have had a moment where they said, you know what, I take back my five. Give me my five. I'm sorry. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. So we get a female prosecutor so as not to violate the hashtag Me Too rules. Because now we've got a way that we operate according to Me Too rules. So we've got to have a female prosecutor. And even she cowers under the weight of hashtag Me Too. I was not impressed with that, folks. And not that I wanted Christine Blasey Ford to be beaten down. That's not what I was going for. But I was after the truth. Is there not a way for us to get to the truth? Is there not a way for us to ask questions? No, okay, she's not on trial. We understand that. But she's made some sensational claims. And what has been folded completely into this discussion are other ridiculous claims by women. And who pays for that? Who pays for that? It gets clicks. It draws people to websites. It sells some advertisements. But who ultimately pays for what we drink up in this culture today? It's people like Brett and Ashley Kavanaugh. It's people like Brett Kavanaugh's parents. Do we understand what it means that anything is consumed in our culture today that comes up in our newsfeed? Anything. is consumed in our culture today, if it's on our favorite news outlet, we don't stop to vet it. We don't ask questions. Folks, let me tell you what it is that we've done. We've lost discernment. We've lost discernment. We have lost the ability to think critically. We've lost the ability to seek the Lord for wisdom. And there are so many people who said, man, I don't know. I mean, she was very convincing. She was very convincing. What a riveting testimony she gave. It was riveting. Her account was riveting. Riveting. I can't tell you how many times I heard that in the commentary. Just riveting account Christine Blasey Ford gave today. She was believable. You know what they also say is riveting in our culture today? Movie scripts. Movie productions. What a riveting story. Not a dry eye in the house. The same kind of sensational descriptions used in Hollywood. Just because someone gives a riveting account doesn't make it fact. This is ridiculous. We should be embarrassed about what has happened in this country. And I'm going to say this for the people of God. We do not need a hashtag to control our behavior and our function in culture. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that those who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. So that means all of our cultural engagement is dictated by the Spirit of God who indwells us, not hashtags. I'm sorry. We don't look to the bylaws of hashtags in our culture to determine our engagement today. And that's what we saw. That's what we saw. We saw grandstanding. We saw code speak for we love women, but we really don't. You know, there was something that really stood out to me when Rachel Mitchell, she said, she was talking to Christine Blasey Ford. And she said, you know, you sound like you know a lot about trauma and how the brain processes that. You've done a lot of research. She says, do you also know, and I'm paraphrasing her here, I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but she says, do you also know the best way to get a testimony from a sexual abuse victim, you know? And Christine Blasey Ford is kind of like, you know, she's inquisitive. She's wanting to get the answer. She says, it's not in a setting like this. It's not in a setting like this. And if there could be one thing that may have been a zinger that came from Rachel Mitchell, one thing that I think painted a picture of the motive behind this circus, as Brett Kavanaugh called it today, because it is a circus. If there was one thing, I would say it would be the point that Rachel Mitchell made when she said, you know what? No one advised you to have a forensic interview. So you reached out to your senator. You reached out to lawyers. And she says, and basically your senator recommended that you lawyer up. Then your lawyers recommended that you take a polygraph test. In other words, what this prosecutor was saying is that these lovers of women didn't love you. They didn't really care about getting to the root. They didn't care about getting to the bottom of this issue. They didn't care about your trauma. They were politically motivated. And if Rachel Mitchell had another zinger today, I would say it was her question about whether or not Dianne Feinstein's office recommended an attorney. Because they did. They absolutely did. You've got a person who confides in you, and there was confidence. It was supposed to be kept away from the public. And they tell you about this trauma that they sustained 36 years ago, this trauma. And you recommend lawyers for them who also happen to be politically motivated. Those lawyers, in turn, pay for the polygrapher. You know what? You know it's not funny. It's not funny. It's tragic. It's tragic. Brett Kavanaugh should be and must be confirmed. This is ridiculous. If he's not confirmed, I don't know how we bounce back from this as a society. I don't know how we undo this in our culture. Our way of life, due process, will have fallen to a hashtag. A hashtag.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
I'm not questioning that Dr. Ford may have been sexually assaulted by some person in some place at some time. But I have never done this to her or to anyone. That's not who I am. It is not who I was. I am innocent of this charge. I intend no ill will to Dr. Ford and her family. The other night, Ashley and my daughter Liza said their prayers, and little Liza, all of 10 years old, said to Ashley, we should pray for the woman. It's a lot of wisdom from a 10-year-old. We mean no ill will.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. It's shameful. It's shameful. I'm Miki. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III. Forgive me for losing all of my formalities. I just this is a moment in our country, folks. This is it. This is one of those moments where you're either going to continue to be battered around by the culture, or you're going to stiffen your backbone and you're going to say the truth. You're going to tell the truth with a capital T. And that's what Brett Kavanaugh did today. And he reminded us, when we talk about the age of women, hello, which, by the way, how insulting to be reduced to a hashtag. That's what we're talking about here, really. We're talking about that being leveraged for political gain. Brett Kavanaugh reminded us that there are many women involved in this discussion today. It's not just Christine Blasey Ford. It's little Liza, who said we should pray for this woman. Can you imagine, folks? We have two daughters. We've got an 11-year-old and a 10-year-old. I'm trying to imagine the conversation that Will would have to have with our two daughters to say, I have been accused of sexually assaulting a woman. I'm trying to imagine my two daughters trying to process that. You see, because what gets lost in all of this is that we're talking about a person. I mean, I don't think you saw, well, there are several times that you saw Brett Kavanaugh just really today during this Senate Judiciary Committee hearing get just choked up. One of the first times was him talking about his name, talking about his family. We don't think about that. We have turned Kavanaugh into a position. And look, we have to be careful as conservatives because we've turned Kavanaugh into a win. He's a man. He's a person with a family. He's not just a win for us and a loss for Democrats. We should care about this not just because we want him on the bench. We should care about this because it's wrong, people. It's wrong. I'm not gonna lose my ability to discern or to ask questions because I'm fixated on a win. I want what's right. I want Brett Kavanaugh's name to be clear. Can I just tell you that? If he is confirmed and appointed to the Supreme Court, but his name is garbage, that's not a win, y'all. That's not a win. That's not what we're going for. His name has to be cleared. And I would encourage you in all your social media engagement, all your conversations, don't lose sight of truth with a capital T. What is right and what is just? The Bible teaches us that a name is more precious than riches, than rubies, a person's name. And what has happened to Brett Kavanaugh, if we don't fight for it, could be irreversible. You know, he said, I enjoy teaching. And he talked about the people that he's taught teaching constitutional law. And he said, I may never be able to teach again. His name. He talked about enjoying coaching. I think he described it as like his favorite thing to do. And he said, because of this, because of what you have allowed and in some cases instigated, I would say, he said, I may never be able to coach again. I'm not just in this for a political win, although I understand the importance of the Supreme Court. You better believe I do. I care about the country my kids will live in. But I also, I don't know, I care about this man as a person. We've lost civil discourse because we've reduced it to just the end. What are we going for here? What's the play here is the question we're often asking. What's the play here? Where we go from here? It's not weak for us to desire truth. This is what God himself is after. Truth. His name has to be cleared. We have to keep talking about this. And guess what? I don't have to attack Christine Blasey Ford to talk about truth. It also means that I'm not afraid of a hashtag. I mean, if you could personify this Me Too movement, it is a bully. It's aggressive. It shows no signs of stopping. So you sit and you listen to a woman who is very convincing, who is frail and delicate and requires frequent questions. Are you okay? Are you all right? And we say because of that, we can't press on issues that call into question the integrity of a man's character. We can't press. It's not worth it. We can't do it. She talked about being interviewed by this polygrapher. And she talked about how daunting the process was and how it went on forever. And it was a long process. And you're sitting and you're looking. And she says, but it's okay. We got through it. We got through it. Do you want to know something, folks? Christine Blasey Ford's polygrapher, the guy who conducted the polygraph test, said he asked her two questions. Two questions. It was daunting. It was a lot. It was a long day. But, you know, we got through it. You know what most of the time was? Most of the time was her giving her statement about what happened. Most of the time was this polygrapher, Jerry Hanifin, just letting her talk and say what happened. You want to know what his two questions were? He asked her only two questions. I put this in the category of, I'm afraid to fly, but I fly for leisure. I'm jetting here and there. I put this in that category. She painted a picture like this innocent, delicate woman. But she made it. It's okay. I got through it. She was asked two questions, folks. Two, quote unquote, relevant questions. After she gave her statement, here was question number one. I am not making this up. The actual polygrapher was on with Shannon Bream last night. This is what Jerry Hanifin said. Two relevant questions. Number one, after she gave her statement and told what happened, she was allowed to talk. This was the question. Is any part of your statement false? Question number two. Did you make up any part of your statement? Guys, now again, you know, I'm probably not the scissors people reach for when they're doing arts and crafts, you know, just a little bit dull. I'm not those scissors. I'm, you know. But I was talking to Jeff about this, and Jeff said, and I agree, he said, that's the same question. Yeah, it is. So technically, because it doesn't take a lot for me, I would say you were asked one question during your grueling polygraph test. One question. But do you see how this is theater? Because what, if you don't know this, what you walk away with is going, oh, this poor woman subjected to asking. This is not Maury Povich. This is not Ricky Lake. This is not Phil Donahue. You understand what I'm saying? This is real. This is real life. This is not to be consumed as our entertainment. We should, man, we had better ask tough questions when we see things popping off in our culture that defy logic, defy rational thinking. We're inundated with information. We've got information coming out the wazoo. We have it everywhere. Everywhere you look, there's late breaking news. There's a news story that's coming up in your news feed, something you feel inclined to comment on. And you know what it has done? It has robbed us of our ability to discern. We don't think. We don't ask God to help us understand what's happening in the culture. We just act and react. I cannot believe. That we serve the God who would be okay with destroying a man's life like this for political gain. I can't believe that, folks. I'm going to say it again. If Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed tomorrow, but Kavanaugh is a byword in our culture, what have we really gained? We've simply been selfish Americans trying to get what we want. And what about the name Kavanaugh? What about his family? What about his daughters? We have to care about that. We have to be concerned with that. Look, I don't know where Christine Blasey Ford goes after this. You know, I don't know. I don't know what kind of help, what kind of additional help she needs. But there are so many holes in her story. And I'm going to tell you that holes in a story does not always mean that a person is lying. But I cannot shake the feeling that that's precisely what it means in this case. Forgive me for being direct with you. Forgive me for being so blunt. But there's too much at stake. How humbling to be so revealing today, Brett Kavanaugh. How humbling to have to take so many drinks of water, to hold back the tears, the lumps in his throat. How humbling. And why? Why? Not because he's fighting for a position. He's not fighting for a promotion. I heard people reducing it to that. This is his fight for his he's fighting for his name. I grieve for Ashley Kavanaugh. I grieve for her. I think any wife out there, if you know the character of your husband, and to have their character maligned in culture, I think you would rightly grieve with her. Let me say this, something else. Jeff and I were talking about this during the break here, and I wrote this down as I was taking some notes during the testimonies. One of the things that stuck out to me, and maybe you caught it as well as you were listening to Christine Blasey Ford, she talked about within like 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, going to a local Safeway where she says that Mark Judge was working. And she talks about how being a teenager, you know, she didn't want to go through the same door with her mom. So she made her mom go through one door. She went through the other door. And there was Mark Judge, who she describes as turning white. He looked sick when he saw her. And she said to him, "Hello." And he didn't really respond to her. And she said she thought that was odd because they had such a friendly relationship before that, where they would, you know, it would have been very common for him to say, "Hey," back. But he didn't do that this time. Now, I want you to think about what Christine Blasey Ford alleges, that Mark Judge was a part of a sexual assault. He participated in it. And she just said to him, "Hello." And he was ill. And he was ill when he saw her. She wasn't ill. She wasn't upset. Just the attacker. We can't ask more questions about that. We can't press that just a little bit more to get a little more information. Has hashtag MeToo caused us to stumble and falter, even in asking reasonable questions? This woman who has so many academic accolades, but can't remember some basic details. We can't ask questions about that. I hope that when we continue this conversation, yes, we speak in terms of what will happen to Brett Kavanaugh. I believe that he deserves to be confirmed. But I will tell you, I believe that he deserves to have his name cleared. You know, Cory Booker asked Christine Blasey Ford, you know, how's your husband? How are your kids? How's your family? And he provided this wonderful opportunity for her to talk about how hard it was. But, you know, she had a supportive community and we're making it. We're getting through. It's more political theater, guys. That question should have been asked of Brett Kavanaugh. Senator Feinstein started off her remarks. "There was no thank you for being here. We're sorry about the trauma. We're sorry about what this..." You know why? Because they already revealed their hand when they talked to Christine Blasey Ford. They believe her. They believe her. And you know why they believe her? Because it fits their political narrative. Let us, though, in the body of Christ, let us aim higher. We don't just want the political win. We trust God. We want this man's name to be cleared. And I would encourage you to pray to that end. Ask the Lord for that. It's independent of you and what you gain. Ask the Lord for that, for Brett Kavanaugh.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.